Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast. This is episode number 12. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help confront from a biblical perspective the tragic epidemic of suicide in our world today, which has even seen a spate of self-professing Christians in positions of ministerial leadership, namely pastors, take their own lives. The World Health Organization, WHO, estimates that each year approximately 1 million people die from suicide, which represents a global mortality rate of 16 people per 100,000, or one death every 40 seconds. It is predicted that by 2020, this year, the rate of death by suicide, which 2020 was last year at this point, the rate of death by suicide has increased to one every 20 seconds. As the Apostle James wrote in his epistle on a different matter, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." By the way, a black pastor in Houston has recently committed suicide. That just came out in the news. And so pray for that family. Our scripture passage for this episode of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is Matthew 27:5, which says, "And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself." Our featured quote for this episode of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is from Winston Churchill. He said, "Never, never, never give up," in another context. My beloved, in this podcast, we are going through the very intriguing book, Preventing Suicide, A Handbook for Pastors, Chaplains, and Pastoral Counselors by Dr. Karen Mason. Beloved, we continue today with Chapter 1, Who Dies by Suicide, Part 5. Risk and Protective Factors, Researching Suicide Continued, Circumstances. It's a myth that people in difficult circumstances kill themselves as a matter of course. People survive great horror and do not kill themselves. Krishna contrasts Meriwether Lewis and Abraham Lincoln, who both suffered from depression and faced great challenges in life. But it was Meriwether Lewis who killed himself. In fact, suicide is never a normal response to difficult events. Circumstances are just one part of the story. Jim struggled with a circumstance: his wife's discovery of his affair, or rather his adultery. But it was not the circumstance alone that affected his thinking. The circumstance occurred in the context of his theology that God could not forgive him or would not forgive him. As a Centers for Disease Control report states, suicide is never the result of a single factor or event, but rather results from a complex interaction of many factors and usually involves a history of psychosocial problems. Some of the circumstances that confer risk for suicide include childhood sexual abuse, which is more common among females, intimate partner conflict, husband and wife conflict, intimate partner violence, domestic violence, as it is called today, which is more frequently perpetrated on females. But nowadays we have more women perpetrating it on men and on children. And many women now are molesting children. Sad to say. Social isolation in many forms, such as being single, divorced, or widowed, or having lost a parent in childhood. Firearm ownership, which tends to be higher in rural areas and among men. Low socioeconomic status, economic recession for working age people, ages 25 to 64. Chronic pain, homelessness, being a veteran, immigration, sexual orientation, among adolescents, problems with parents play an important role in suicidal behavior, especially in younger adolescents. And as Miller and colleagues note, romantic difficulties are more common precipitants among older adolescents, while parent-child conflicts are more common among younger adolescents. Other factors that confer suicide risk for adolescents include conflict with friends, disciplinary events, and legal problems. In fact, in adolescence, these stressful life events may contribute as much risk for suicide as a mental health problem. But even as we point to these general risk factors based on population statistics, we must recognize that every suicide is unique and involves many factors. Styron wrote, "The greatest fallacy about suicide lies in the belief that there is a single immediate answer, or perhaps combined answers as to why the deed was done." Durkheim adds, "Each victim of suicide gives his act a personal stamp, which expresses his temperament, the special conditions in which he is involved, and which consequently cannot be explained by the social and general causes of the phenomenon. For example, Sally died by suicide. She had struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts every day of her life. Her first suicidal thought was around 3 years old." Wow, that's something. "Her father had fluctuated between neglecting her and abusing her and her siblings, both sexually and physically. Though Sally begged her mother for help, she not only did not protect Sally, but locked her in her room for days at a time. Sally was sexually assaulted and experienced domestic violence as a young woman. Before she died, she was living alone with little positive contact with family. She prepared for her death by taking out an insurance policy, then waiting the necessary years. She got used to pain by cutting herself. Sally is an example of the complexity of factors that contribute to suicide. Jim experienced several risk factors, but he also had an important protective factor. He left comfortable pouring out his heart to his pastor. Rather, he felt comfortable pouring out his heart to his pastor, who shared with him a theology of forgiveness, protective factors. Even if a person has several risk factors, protective factors can buffer the effects. These are the mirror image of the risk factors, meaning that they are the reverse of risk factors. A desire to live, fear of pain and suffering, and not having access to a firearm are protective factors. Among adults, protective factors include support by family, friends, and significant others, the presence of an intimate partner, church attendance, religious coping, including prayer, worshiping God, meditation, reading Holy Scriptures, and meeting with a spiritual leader or pastor. Moral objection to suicide, believing suicide is unacceptable. Reasons for living, including survival and coping beliefs, such as believing one will be able to find solutions to their problems. A feeling of responsibility to family, child-related concerns, fear of suicide or death, and fear of social disapproval. Coping strategies focused on solving and managing a problem and regulating one's emotional responses. Having a child less than 18 years old, this is especially true for women. The strengths of the suicidal person. I have a client with great persistence who loses hope, but then problem solves and generates solutions. I have another suicidal client who is very likable and people offer him social support. Among adolescents, family cohesion, a feeling of togetherness in the family and parental support, ethnic identity and self-esteem have been found to be protective against suicidal thinking and behaviors, as well as social support and connection to school. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, if the Lord should tarry his coming, we will continue looking at this subject and more in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for the family in Houston, Texas that just lost their pastor and father, and we pray that you would comfort them as only you can. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from other pastors and Christian families and other people who don't know your Savior. Lord, rebuke and bind the devil and his message of suicide from the hearts and minds, souls, and spirits of these people. Save those who are lost. Encourage and revive those who are saved with your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life, and that I have broken your commandments, and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.